So good morning, everyone. I'm Savitri from University of Georgia, and today I'm going to present to you some work that we have done trying to look at the effect of various plant growth regulators on ripening, in specifically in rabbit-eye blueberries. And most of this work was done by my graduate student, Evan Wong, and our lab technician, John Doyle. So if you look at the production of blueberries, you can see that U.S. leads in the production of blueberries. And when you look at it across the states, Georgia is actually a pretty big producer of blueberries. The farm gate value is around $300 million. And so it's a pretty big crop in Georgia. There are four different types of blueberries. So blueberries are from the Ericaceae family, and they are from the Vaccinium genus. And predominantly, there are four different blueberry types that are grown in the U.S. Mainly in Georgia and the South, we grow southern highbush, the southern highbush blueberries and the rabbit-eye blueberries. And today, I'm going to discuss some work that we have done with rabbit-eye blueberries. So when you look at ripening in blueberries, is very similar to other fruit crops in terms of how you get changes in sugars and acids and the change in color. It's very similar to the ripening mechanisms that might be occurring in other fruits. However, when you look at blueberries, these fruits grow in this cluster, and ripening does not occur at the same time. So when it comes to harvest, these fruit are picked like multiple times. So depending on the variety, they could be harvested at least 3 or 5 times. So the main objective of this study was to look at the role of plant growth regulators on ripening, and eventually we also wanted to see the effect that these plant growth regulators have on post-harvest storage of these fruit. So the idea of doing the study was not only to understand maybe how these plant growth regulators affect ripening or affect the progression of ripening, but we also want to see if this could be viable for the blueberry industry to use some of these plant growth regulators, either to synchronize ripening. So if you can synchronize ripening, maybe you could reduce the number of harvest, and that could actually save cost in terms of, you know, picking fruit. Another benefit would be if you could manipulate ripening. So if these plant growth regulators could either, let's say, accelerate ripening, and if they could accelerate ripening in some of the varieties that ripen early enough, you might be able to get, the industry might be able to get a premium price just with getting to that early harvest window. And if it has an added benefit of maintaining or enhancing fruit quality after harvest, that would be another advantage that these plant growth regulators could offer. So with that, with those objectives, we tested out 3 different plant growth regulators, methyl jasminate, abscisic acid, and ethaphon. Ethaphon releases ethylene. And so we tested the effect of these 3 plant growth regulators on the progression of ripening in blueberries. And so the reason we picked these 3 plant growth regulators is that with methyl jasminate, like jasminates are known to, there is some evidence to suggest that jasminates play a role in ripening. For example, in tomato and apple, it can enhance ripening. However, its role in blueberry is unclear. The reason we decided to try out ABA is that ABA is a well-known plant growth regulator in non-climacteric fruits, for example, in strawberries and in grapes. If you apply ABA, it can lead to an early harvest. There's a change in color, and especially in grapes, this is commercially used where you can harvest grapes earlier by using ABA. And the reason when we looked at blueberry fruits, there's one study by Zifkin et al. Which shows that the content of ABA actually increases when blueberry fruit ripen. So our hypothesis was that if we additionally provide ABA, we should see an acceleration in ripening. The third treatment that we tried was ethaphon. And there is already some previous literature in the 1970s to suggest that blueberries respond to ethophon and they result in accelerated ripening. But these are studies in the 1970s, and we wanted to investigate this a little more thoroughly. So with those with these three plant growth regulators, we tested them out in the horticulture farm, which is really close to our University of Georgia campus. And the two varieties that we tested were Premier and Powder Blue. We sprayed these plant growth regulators when fruit were about 50% ripe. And the treatments that we tried were, there was a control, ethophon, ABA, and methyl jasmonate. And I'll discuss the concentrations when I'm kind of discussing the results. And so the methodology that we used was we tagged branches, and then from those tagged branches we removed all the immature or those really small green fruit and fully ripe fruit. And then of what remained, we determined the percentages of the green and pink fruit that remained in these tagged branches. After which we did these foliar applications of ethophon, ABA, and methyl jasmonate, including the control. And then at regular intervals, we went back and we assessed the percentage of green, pink, and ripe fruit to actually look for progression of ripening. And then after 10 days, we harvested these fruit, and then we looked at post-harvest fruit quality. And so this is data in Premier. You can see that what is shown in this graph is you can see that there's percent green fruit and is shown at days after the various PGRs were applied. And what you can see here is that the black bar here shows control. So as expected, I mean, over time, you will see that there is a decrease in percent green fruit. When compared to the control, methyl jasmonate and ABA were not significantly different. However, when you look at ethophon-treated berries, at about 4 days of treatment, you could see that there was lower percent of green percent green fruit compared to the control, and this trend continued over time. So complementary to the percent green fruit, we looked at the percent ripe fruit. And so you can see that, again, as expected, over time, you can see that there is an increase in ripe fruit in the control, which is again shown in this black bar. And there were no significant differences with methyl jasmonate or ABA application. However, when we used ethophon, we could see there was a higher percentage of ripe fruit. So you can see that, you know, at 7 days after treatment, whereas about 40% of the control fruit were ripe, there was about 60% of the ethophon-treated fruit that were ripe, and this trend continued. So this seemed to suggest that ethophon accelerated ripening. And so we saw very similar effect with powder blue. So here is shown the control, and what we see is that we see that there is a decline in ethophon-treated percent green fruit. And we saw a very similar effect with the ripe fruit, similar to what we saw in Premier. In fact, after 4 days, about 60% of fruit were ripe, which actually increased to 80% of the fruit, whereas in control, only about 40% of the fruit were ripe at 6 days after treatment. And so here I'd just like to mention the ethophon that we used was the same concentration that we used for Premier, but with ABA and methyl jasmonate, we actually increased the concentration. Since we did not see an effect in Premier, we increased the concentration for powder blue. However, we did not see any effect with methyl jasmonate and ABA. In fact, with ABA, using it at such high concentration, we saw some leaf phytotoxicity. We repeated this study only with ethophon in the following year, and this is data in powder blue, which again shows that there is enhanced ripening. And when we measured ethylene levels, ethophon, so this is actually showing you 2 days after treatment and 5 days after treatment, and you can see that within 2 days after treatment, ethophon induced or enhanced the levels of ethylene. Sorry, this mouse. Okay. Anyway, you can see it here at 2 days after treatment, ethaphon enhanced the ethylene production. And so very likely the enhanced ripening effect was due to this enhanced production of ethylene and downstream ethylene signaling. We also measured several post-harvest fruit quality attributes. And so this is data showing for Premier. We looked at compression, total soluble solids, titratable acidity and weight, and we looked at it at 1, 15 and 29 days after storage. And as you can see, most of these, there was no significance in any of these post-harvest fruit quality attributes under any of these treatments. So there was no sort of negative or positive effect due to these plant growth regulators. And we saw a very similar effect with powder blue when we looked at various fruit quality traits during storage. And we looked also at post-harvest disease during storage at the same time points at 1, 15, and 29 days. The disease incidence as such, so this is in Premier and Powder Blue, and the disease incidence as such you can see was very low. It was like, you know, from 4% to 8%, but we did not see any significant differences with these various treatments. So to conclude, ethaphon promotes ripening in rabbit eye blueberries, especially in Premier and Powder Blue that we looked at. And methyl jasminate and ABA did not seem to affect ripening in blueberries. And generally, the fruit quality and post-harvest incidence was not affected by these PGR treatments. And so the future work would be to study the role of ethaphon in other blueberry cultivars and species. We want to look at other rabbit eye varieties and southern highbush varieties to see if the same trend holds. And also, we're taking the study further to investigate the mechanisms, the molecular mechanisms by which ethaphon accelerates ripening by looking at various transcriptional regulation of various genes that might be induced by ethaphon in ripening. With that, I would like to acknowledge my lab members and my collaborators, Harold Schirm, Anish Maladi, and Scott Neesmith. And this was funded by the Southern Regional Small Fruit Consortium. So with that, if you have any questions, be more than happy to answer. Yeah.
Was it just one concentration of that one
that you applied? Yeah, we just applied only 250 ppm.
So do you think that if you increase that,
The problem with ethaphon is that ethaphon can also induce abscission. And so studies have shown that if you use, for example, 1,000 parts per million, it can induce abscission. And so we wanted to try a lower rate, which may actually influence ripening but not induce abscission. So it might be good to maybe try a higher concentration, but we may see some negative effects.
What were your temperatures at the time of application?
So at the time of application, This was done a couple of years back. I want to say that it was done sometime in July, and the temperatures in Athens reach at least 90 degree Fahrenheit, but there's also a lot of thunderstorms at that time. So, but all the applications were performed in the morning, like around 7:30 in the morning. So it might be slightly cooler temperatures. So it was just the way we applied it is that we mixed those powders with water, and then it was just in a backpack spray where we used just a handheld sprayer to spray it. Oh, we sprayed the entire. It was a foliar application. We drenched the entire plant with that. Sorry? Oh, surfactant. Yeah, we added a non-ionic surfactant, the Latron 1956B. Sorry? Oh, we did the treatment when the fruit were about 50%, 40 to 50% ripe.
Because we, our group also did some
blueberries actually is kind of controversial if it's climacteric or non-climacteric fruits. There's no clear evidence to suggest one way or the other right now. But ABA is actually shown to improve color in climacteric and non-climacteric fruits. So we were also surprised with those results that ABA did not show that effect, at least in coloration in blueberries.
Thank you for the questions. I'm afraid we'll have to move on. Thank you very much, Sasha.